Blog Talk Radio.
This is DJP, and you're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA.
Guest on this evening is truly one that epitomizes OSU. He's a tremendous wrestler, a tremendous man in life, giving back to his community. Without further ado, welcome to the program, Adam DeSabato. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you doing, Don? How's it?
Well,
is,
you know,
Troy,
I didn't know if that
well?
Was no, he'll probably call in knowing him. That guy's a character in his own right, man. You know, I love my brother to death.
I didn't know if he was co-hosting with you tonight or not.
He probably will. I could call him up here in a minute. But, you know, he did send a couple questions, you know,
okay,
my way. And I roll a different format. But, I was told to ask you, you know, what is it about Emilio's and the pizza and incredible salad that creates great athletes out of Ohio?
I don't know. Emilio's is my dad's pizza. Well, my dad started a pizza place restaurant back, you know, when we were young, and basically raised all of us on serving pizza and salads and subs and whatnot. And basically, my dad was started in 1960, so it's been around forever. And Troy really likes the food there, so I think that's why he's plugging Amelia. It's really good. If you like Italian food, it's the best. And I'm not saying it just because I'm biased. I've had a lot of pizza, and I like it the best.
Oh, yeah, you know, most definitely. And then his last kind of question that he kind of gave me to ask, and
Kyle Snyder was just in there the other day. The Olympic champion was in there eating the other day. That must be good. Right?
There's something in the air that's creating champions, man, and greatness in the sport. So you can't, if you want to get great in the sport, go to Emilio's and
a lot of
you figure
great
it out,
people
man,
have eaten there. A lot of good, tough guys have eaten in there.
That's what he said. But you know what? He also wanted me to ask you, in your opinion, who is the best DeSabato wrestler?
Oh, you mean in my family?
Yes, sir.
Well, in high school, I'd have to say my brother Dom was like a four-time finalist and three-time champ. I never was that. I was a two-time champ and a four-time placer, but I got, I think, fifth and third, and then I won it twice. But Dom was more accomplished in high school, but in college and thereafter, I was the most accomplished, I believe. My cousin Andy was as well. you know, he was pretty accomplished in the international scene as well. He was tough too, and my cousin Bobby Dealey was actually probably the best. He wasn't a DeSabato, but that's how we kind of got started. My Uncle Bob wrestled at Ohio State back in the 60s, and his boy wrestled at Bishop Reedy, where I went to school. His name was Bob Dealey Jr., and he was a senior freestyle world champion, or freestyle senior national champion as a high school senior, which is pretty impressive. So I wasn't even the best. But, you know, we all were good in our own way, but, you know, Bobby didn't really, you know, he went to college and kind of, I think he was burnt out or just didn't have the love for the sport after that, so he kind of dropped out. I kind of pursued it the longest, I guess, in terms of competing, me and my cousin Andy, but, you know, all my brothers and stuff were pretty competitive and cousins.
It's got to be tremendous coming from a family like that. You know, in my years of journalism and being in the sport, I've got to meet a lot of wrestlers, a lot of fighters, and, you know, you learn to appreciate each and every sport and each and every aspect. You know, what initially led, you know, Adam DeSabato to the mat to compete in wrestling? What drove you to the mat?
You know, like I said, it was part of my existence there. You know, my brothers, when I was growing up, that's all I saw. You know, my brothers were wrestling at a high level in high school when I was growing up, and I watched it, and I loved it, and I started wrestling as a young kid at 5 years old. So that's all I knew. You know, I remember, you know, as a kid, we'd have wrestling matches in the kitchen, you know, and you know, it was just the way it was. You know, we had a carpet kitchen floor back then, you know, and, you know, there was appliances and cabinets around, so it was kind of like a mini octagon back in the day. we wouldn't break any furniture that way, so that's where we wrestled. So that was kind of the pit, and those were the first matches I remember. And going to my cousins, and I remember, you know, wrestling my cousins at functions. It was crazy, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, it was just part of our culture.
Yeah. You know, you go back to when you were a young man, and this wasn't even your first Olympic trial, but you were under Mitch Clark, you know.
No, I was under Hellickson, actually. Mitch was actually younger than me. I actually brought Mitch in as a recruit. Mitch was, he was a few years younger than me, but Mitch was, he was, when I was a senior, I think, he was coming in as a freshman. I was graduating, so he was younger than me, but I wrestled for Russ Hellickson. And Jim Jordan was my assistant coach, the congressman. And Kenny Chertow, who was Olympian, was one of my assistants for a time, too. He was an Olympian. So I had some good coaches at Ohio State.
Yeah, it goes to show you can't always believe media.
Yeah, I don't know where you got. I don't know. That's a misprint from somewhere. But Mitch was a national champ, and he was tough, but he wasn't my coach.
Yeah, it's funny because you go to the – I mean, bro, I really dug because I wanted to give you a tremendous interview. So when I do that, because I generally just shoot off the cuff. So I dug and dug, and I went to the Ohio State wrestling page, and I'll quote word for word just so you know I did my research. It says current Ohio State assistant wrestling coach Mitch Clark, the 1998 National Big Ten champion. And then it goes on to say that you and six others were, you know, in the Olympic trials. And so I apologize for that.
That was, well, there was an article probably when we were all we were all going to the same trials, maybe. There's a bunch of us that competed at probably the same trials together. So I don't know. That's weird.
Well, but, you look back at them days, man, and you not only create a tremendous brotherhood, you created a path for yourself in life, in wrestling. You know, your family was in wrestling and this and that. Then you jump into the future, and now still today you're teaching wrestling. You're sharing your knowledge with others. What does DeSabato wrestling mean to you, Adam?
Well, it's a part of what I do. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do without it, I guess. With wrestling, it's part of my life. It's just, I don't know. It's like getting up, and it's been a part of my life since I was a kid, and I just, I love it. And I've been fortunate enough to do well on it, and it's afforded me opportunities. So, you know, I owe a lot back to it, but, you know, it's given me opportunities to go all over the world and, you know, travel all over the country and represent, you know, our country and different places and whatnot. And I don't know, it's a love that I don't even know how to describe it. It's part of me. I don't know what I'd do without it. So, you know, like I said, I just have, I've always known that I wanted to do this as a profession and, you know, some way. And I've always, in one way or another, I was either wrestling, competing, fighting, or coaching. And coaching fighters or, you know, whether it be wrestlers or fighters, it's just, you know, I like the competition and the one-on-one. So, you know, it's just a part of who I am, I guess.
Yeah. You know, now I've interviewed Joe Warren, and, you know, a lot of people think when it comes to wrestling, there's just, you know, one or two aspects, but it's a profound sport, you know, and Joe Warren's specialty was Greco-Roman wrestling. What was predominantly Adam DeSabato's favorite aspect of the sport?
I was mostly a takedown specialist. I was good at taking people down. So I was, like, I had a takedown record for about 10 years at Ohio State. And I was prolific on my feet, and in freestyle wrestling, I was pretty good. So, you know, I was good in college as well in folk style wrestling, but in freestyle, I was better. I won 2 university national titles in freestyle, so I didn't win any in folk style in college. So I was probably a little better at freestyle.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna ask you, Troy, kind of. It's chiming in and sent me another little question. He wanted me to ask you, what was in the can of Coke and what it felt like the day after?
The what?
That you would remember. He said, what was in the can of Coca-Cola that the next day it made you feel like you had a broken rib?
I had a broken rib.
I'm just asking what he...
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Troy's something.
I think it has something to do with coal.
Stuff out of the blue, and I can't remember. I've been thrown on my head too many times.
I think it has to do with Coleman and GSP.
I can't remember.
I'll leave it up to Troy to give a question that's so far back.
Yeah. Well, if he remembers it, time to call in.
Because
I can't.
Fact, you know, let's do something a little. I don't usually do this on my interviews, but we'll see if we can't get the T-Man on the show himself and enlighten us.
Yeah, because I'm stumped. I'm like, what's he? It's UFC.
Yeah, cause you, and actually, you know, when I first called you the first time, it was like, I almost thought Troy was playing a joke on me because, you know, I didn't think he was actually, you gave me, you know, your contact information to get a hold of you because I'd been wanting to interview you for quite some time. And so
yeah.
When I called, and you Ohio guys have this pretty much the same accent, so
yeah,
it was like, it was crazy. Well, let's go ahead and give Troy Mann a call real quick. Bust
right.
His chops.
Hello?
T-Man, you're on the show with Adam DeSavino and Don McGuire. What's up, buddy?
Oh my goodness, what's going on, guys? You'll never believe what happened.
What?
I pick up my phone. I go to leave. I'm at my dad's secret man cave. We get up to leave. Lo and behold, what do I lose? That $316 key card to get in the gym, $700 iPhone, rosary beads. But I did not bring Coleman's cane, and I beat the hell out of the walker, and we drove and got it done. So what's going on, guys? I'm in a good mood. What's going on, gentlemen?
We're trying to figure out what the Coke can and...
The can of Coca-Cola.
Okay. All right. You're on my dad with, or you're on my dad. I'm with my father, and we're driving, so I'm going to put it on speaker. If there's traffic, I apologize. But, yeah, there's something in the Coke and the salad at Emilio's Pizza. And I'll explain in a minute. Oh, okay, you are on. All right. Something about that Coca-Cola. Oh, yeah, you're that MMA guy. Let's see what you got. And then right when I think I'm going to get that overhand left out of nowhere, comes this little tap in the rib that he got me a little too hard. And I was like, okay, I got you. I see how you're going to play this game. Well, yeah, I get up for work the next day and was like, yeah, just as I
that was at Gallows.
Okay. That was that Gallows, and that
yeah,
is
hit you
my...
at Gallows, not at Emilio's. That's
exactly.
Why I'm like, what's he talking about?
And you saw that look in my eye, and I was like, okay, this guy's real. I get it. I'm not
going to
talk, you know.
All right. Now it makes sense. I was like, what's he talking about? I hit you in the ribs at Gallows.
It makes sense.
And right.
I'm going to tell you that there's something else. Because that cane sometimes, I'm telling you, I have beat the you-know-what out of that and bent it back and beat the... It's kind of freaking... That's the word hammer, man, that Coleman gave me. So there is something at Ohio State that makes greatness. And I'm just going to drop the mic on that one.
All right.
But you know how it is, AD. We can go all day.
All right. Sure.
How you guys doing, man?
Good.
We're doing good now that we know what we're talking about.
And
now we're good.
And now, AD, would it be any other story without a... too bad we don't have Jordan with us today because he tells the greatest near piss my pants. And you can go ahead and tell that story since you were there.
Which one?
You know what I'm talking about on Nick Vickers' fight?
I ain't telling that story. That's,
no.
When you piss
Jordan,
yourself twice coming home.
Jordan already. Hell, it gets,
you pissed yourself.
It gets better.
You couldn't hold your piss.
Jordan Shenry.
So we had to stop.
Goes on there,
I had to stop
it.
And you couldn't make it to the fucking because you were you, with your cane. You couldn't get to the He couldn't make it to the restroom.
Yeah.
He pissed himself, so we were laughing at him. And then he had to change his shorts, and we had to wait on him. It was just, we were coming back from a fight.
Like, yeah, but you can tell a little bit more because it was my
Well, that's basically the gist of it. I mean, it was a long ride.
But Jordan tells the story, and our boy.
Well, I'm sure he does tell a little better, but
because. Well, yeah, he goes back and forth. He's like, try. You got a right arm in it. You know, that's you know, and I'm like, JD, I can't get my seatbelt unstuck. And I'm like, pull my pants down. And then I'm like, trying to run out the door. And like, as I'm right there with all those police officers. And I'm like, okay, it's in the hand. It's running down. I'm pissing on myself.
God, can you imagine?
Yeah, but, I can only imagine.
Hey, if you can't laugh at yourself,
I forgot about that one.
Did you tell them the one about the putting our takeout food in the wrong Hyundai Santa Fe? You remember that one?
No.
Remember we were coming back from, it might have been like, I'm trying to think of what fight it was. Because we went and watched the UFC, it might have been, Dan Henderson might have fought somebody in the main event. Ronda Rousey may have fought that night. It might have been when Rousey fought Carmouche or something, maybe. I don't know. We were in some weird town, and then we came back, and we were close to your apartment. We were one of the – what's the wing place that – I'm going to call her your better half, A.D. Where's she managed? Where's she the general manager at? What is
Genevieve
that
at Roosters?
Yes.
Roosters.
We were at the one Roosters. I'm talking about the Roosters in Hillary or whatever, that one that was similar to your old – house, and we go there, and we got our takeout, and you got the takeout, and you put it in the food, or put it in the car, and you hop in the car, and I can't get in, and I look, and there's like a purple, like, steering wheel, and I'm like, I can't get it, I'm like, and then I look, and we're the next car over, and it's identical, I'm like, hey, dude, we're in the wrong car, and we left our food, remember that? We left
it
in the because
it was snowing. I remember that.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
No.
It was a blizzard. It was snowing like a blizzard that night. I remember.
Yeah, so it would not be any other way without me losing my phone and finally.
Well, go get your go retrieve your stuff, Troy. Get your
I got
stuff.
My
go
phone. Now
stuff,
I got
bro.
A I do. If I call, if I don't call back, you know I found it.
All right, brother. You have a good day, Troy.
All right.
Oh, and a mic drop on that one.
I can't follow which story he was talking about. He loses me.
You and me both, brother.
I forget. I'm like, wait, you went from here to there. I'm like, wait a minute.
You know,
oh, wow.
You can only love Troy, you know, and as you and
no,
me
I
and
love
Frosty.
Troy, but he is absolutely right. It was snowing, and we came out, and we got in the wrong, it was, his car was like a SUV, and we got in the wrong one, and I was like, this isn't your car, and he's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, but it was they were both covered with snow because it was, you know, it was like a blizzard.
It was,
night.
Yeah, it was coming
it's
down.
Bad.
You know, I love that guy, and Frost does my actual. He actually does a show with me on boxing on Thursdays with Legends in Boxing. You know,
oh, does he?
Yeah, he's done it off and on with me for about, I guess, about 3 years now, 4 years now, something
yeah.
like that.
Cool.
But, you know, I kind of want to touch to something that me, you, and Troy, we both have in common, and it's kind of away from the sport, but when did Adam DeSavato become a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Oh, man, I was a Steelers fan from time I was a kid. Just I remember watching Rocky Wire and Franco Harris and Terry Bradshaw, and I love the black and gold and just Mean Joe Green and all. I don't know. I just love the way they played and just that steel curtain and all that. I loved it, and I wasn't a Dallas Cowboy fan. I was a Steelers fan, so. I grew
you know
up,
I'm a diehard.
I didn't like the Browns. I didn't like the Bengals. I liked the Steelers. So I grew up watching the Steelers, and they happened to be just starting to get good when I liked them. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, I'm 51 years old, and to be quite honest with you, I'm an amputee, but my prosthetic is a Pittsburgh Steelers leg, as I've been a fan since 1974.
Yeah.
Dude, I rock my Steelers.
I remember watching them, you know, when I was 5, 6, you know, I remember that stuff. And I remember watching the catch and all that stuff. Lynn Swan, all that stuff, man. I was diehard. Still, I mean, I still am, but, you know, I'm not as bad as I was when I was a kid. I still like watching them.
Yeah, things change as we get older in life, you know, and there always isn't that much in enthusiasm as we're younger. I guess it's because we lose some of our, testosterone at 50, I guess. I don't know.
I still get into the games. I still can get uptight sometimes. I can't. Not as bad, I guess. I don't know. Try not to.
You know, what amazes me is you're a Hall of Fame wrestler. You're acclaimed in every aspect of the mat. What led you to actually stepping into MMA and pursuing, you know, that part of Adam DeSavito?
Well, the MMA, I just, you know, we watched it when it first came out. You know, we all watched it, and we were like, oh, wow, this is right up our alley, you know, and watched the different, you know, first couple, and then Coleman, you know, got in and won, and, you know, we just, all of us wanted to do it once he did it, you know. It was like, you know, we just thought wrestlers were the best of all the disciplines. And, you know, I'm sure everybody thinks that of their sport, but at the time, you know, we thought it. And if you look through the history, if you are a good wrestler, you can adapt to the other disciplines fairly easy compared to not knowing how to wrestle at all. So, you know, the catch-up to wrestling is way harder than, you know, the catch-up to jiu-jitsu or throwing hands or whatnot. Footwork has a lot to do with that, but you know, I think the jiu-jitsu's you know, blends in with the wrestling.
You know, it's been a very poignant statement that I've made throughout my career, that without wrestling and without the sweet science, you wouldn't have mixed martial arts. And, you know, as today, you know, as we know it, you know, because mixed martial arts is a traditionalist, I also know it's hundreds of years old, but I'm speaking in the cage fighting mentality, you know, and I honestly do. I do believe that if you don't come from a wrestling pedigree or a sweet science pedigree, you're not going to fare very well in the sport of mixed martial arts. Adam, when you look at all of your accomplishments and all the goals that you set in front of yourself in life, whether they, you know, weren't your truest intentions or things that you meant to do, but you ended up there. When you look back at everything that you've accomplished to date, what would you consider your greatest accomplishment?
Ooh, my greatest accomplishment. I don't know. I guess being a father. Yeah, that should be my greatest accomplishment, is having two great kids. It's not my accomplishment, it's theirs, but yeah, that's my most proudest aspect of what I've done, I guess. But, you know, that they've turned out to be great, great people and, you know, good people to other people, I guess. You know, other than that, giving back, I guess, is something, I guess, that I kind of, I've given back to the sport that I love, and I try to help all those that want to learn, I guess. I don't exclude or, you know, tell somebody they can't, you know, come and train with me or whatnot. I've never done that, so... you know, it's just something that I've been taught through, I guess, you know, the way I was brought up. So I guess that would be my most accomplishment would be, you know, being a good or having two great kids. I'm not saying I was the best father, but I have great kids.
And I can understand that, you know, which kind of segues me into my next question. When you already look at the DeSavato legacy, it's tremendous. So when you went out and created a family and you had children of your own, now that you look back and you reflect, how does it feel knowing in your heart that you've created a legacy for your children to follow in 10, 20 years from now when their grandkids or your great-grandkids or whoever, they can pull up video thanks to social media nowadays and they could see, you know, what part of a legacy you left in life, and they can share that with their friends and say, look, you know, here's my grandfather, my great-grandfather. What do those moments mean to you?
Well, I've never really thought of it that way. I guess it would make me feel proud, I guess. I mean, if you know, later down the road, my grandkids or great-grandkids would be able to watch and see what I've done and be proud of that, I guess I would be proud. You know, I just hope that they would see what I've done and what the sport's helped me do in life and how it's helped me to accomplish the goals I've set out in life. I think, you know, if without wrestling, I don't think I would have done a lot of the things I've done or accomplished a lot of things I've accomplished. You know, the sport of wrestling's taught me to, you know, come back and keep trying, you know, never give up. That sort of thing. You know, I hope that would be something that, you know, my kids would teach and carry on through generations.
Well, yeah, I mean, you truly hit it, pardon me, you truly hit it right on the head because, you know, I had a fighter on my show one time and he wanted to say his farewell, so I had him on. And he was 0-6 in Bellator and had never won a fight in Bellator. But the reason I let him on my show and interviewed him was because, you know, when I asked him why, he said, it doesn't matter what my record was. He said, I just want to show to my children and to my family that when you set a goal in life, when you set an accomplishment or you set, you know, out to do something, that you see it all the way through, that you finish it, you know. So hearing you, you know, emulate that you would like for your kids to pass on what you've taught them in that aspect is tremendous because truly today's society is about entitlement. A lot of the children today are disrespectful. They can give two craps about, you know, the next person standing to them, and they wouldn't even pick up an old lady if she fell down anymore. And I think a certain part of the old school generation has been lost, but with people like you that instill these values in their kids, I think it's a tremendous thing. What are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you. I do see the generation. I teach it, so I see what comes up and the different types of kids out there. You know, I wouldn't say it's the kids, per se. I'd say it's the parents,
yes, sir,
that don't, let's say, instill it in their kids, what they know. Let's put it that way. I think the parents know better. They just don't enforce it. But what I found is if you treat a kid a certain way, they respond to you based on the way you treat them. So it doesn't matter what that parent or how they've been brought up. If I get a kid that's entitled or whatnot, I pretty much treat them the same way I do everybody else, and they fall in line pretty quick. That's my old school type of, coaching. I am a little bit old school, but I was brought up that way, and I think it's a lost art, if you ask me.
Yes, I agree with you. You know, and I read an article that it kind of stated you as, you know, as saying that, the thought is there, you know, you get these thoughts about what you read and then all of a sudden it's gone, but it had something to state that you, in life, that it's always better to remember where you come from and to give back,
yeah,
without expectations. And, you know, I read the article and it kind of, that's the catch line that caught me, and it went on to explain, you know, what type of person you are in life. I know we had a little bit of fun with Troy on the phone here tonight and everything, but the true aspect of who you are is you're a man that truly likes to give back. You're a man that truly didn't forget where you came from. Would you say that that is the most profound aspect in Adam DeSavato?
Oh, I hope it is. I hope other people see that. I hope the people that I interact with see that. I'm not one to judge that. I just hope, that what I do helps somebody become better at what they want to accomplish, whether it be a wrestling match or, you know, something in life. It's just whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. If I can be of assistance, then, you know, I that's what I am there for.
Yeah, and hence the DeSavato School of Wrestling. You know, if some of my listeners happen to be in that area, Adam, how can they get in contact with you if they've got a child that they would like to get enrolled
well,
in your program?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is through Facebook and just friend request me, and I have my schedule and everything on there. I train 3 days a week right now with practices. Two nights at Hamilton Township High School on the south end of Columbus. It's 775 Rathmill Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43027. But anyway, if they go to Facebook, that's probably the easiest way, and then they can get a hold of me, you know, through that. And my schedule's always on there for times and locations, spots, and all that. So that's pretty much the easiest way to get a hold of me. We are having a camp, though, June 5th through the 9th at Hilliard-Davidson High School, and that will be from 9 to noon. So that's June 5th through the 9th from 9 to noon at Hilliard-Davidson High School, and that's off of Avery Road in Hilliard, Ohio.
You know, I got one more question, because I know you just got done with training, and I know days get long, and I don't like keeping, you know, anybody from their family too tremendous. But, you know, you look at some of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and I wanted to get your opinion on this, because, You know, I've had a clash of heads with many on my thoughts because they say I'm too old school. You know, I look at some of these WWE and WWF and TNA wrestlers that, you know, theoretically, some of them do have wrestling pedigrees, and mm-hmm. they transition into the sport, you know, and to me, it diminishes the capacity of what the true art of wrestling is. And, you know, I'll use one person, for instance, that I know and I've interviewed, and you know, that being Bobby Lashley. And
yeah, I know Bobby real well, too.
Yeah.
Actually,
you know,
I was with Cage Fighter, and I don't want to interrupt you, but basically I sponsored Bobby. I was head of sponsorship for Cage Fighter, and at the time we sponsored Bobby, and then I ended up cornering against Bobby with Wes Sims, which was so stupid. It was crazy, but I cornered against him in that Showtime show when he fought down in Florida, the same fight. I think he has fought, who did he fight? He fought Shamrock at that fight, I think.
I think it was Shamrock.
because he was calling him out in the, I was laughing about it because he was calling him a pussy and shit in the elevator and all this stuff. It was funny as hell.
This was before
the fight. They were calling, you know, Diaz was causing all kinds of shit. It was awesome. But
yeah, Diaz is kind of crazy in that way because, you know, ultimately Jason Mayhem Miller was supposed to be on the same program tonight with you.
Oh, he had problems getting a hold of Jason, I bet.
Oh, no, I have his number. I have his manager's number.
I'm just kidding.
But Jason won't come on, bro. It's just like we had it scheduled, and then next thing I know, he backed out. And, you know, I could kind of see why. You look at some of the stuff that Jason Mayhem Miller's caused in the sport. It's crazy, man. Part of his.
I've been around a lot of crazies in the sport, and I know where. Yeah. Been around a lot of them.
I think that's an interview that I'm not going to even touch because
You brought him up.
It was nothing towards you. It's just like, you know, dealing with that situation has just been kind of a nightmare for me. You know, they came to me wanting to come on the show,
and then they said, well, was he going to say something stupid?
Yeah. Right?
Do we really want this?
Well, yeah, because they know my listenership is high, and, you know, I don't know if they really want to take that chance.
They don't want to, yeah, exactly.
You know, That might not go fair so well.
But anyway, with Bobby Lashley, not to get off the subject, but anyway,
yeah,
Bobby Lashley's a really, really good dude, and I thought he was a great athlete, and his transition wasn't as good as I thought it would be. But, you know, like I said, he's definitely a hell of an athlete.
You know, I agree with you that he's a hell of an athlete, but the thought I was getting at, do you think that sometimes when people like Bobby Lashley and others try to make that transition to the sport of MMA, do you think that sometimes it hurts the credibility of wrestling because some of them truly aren't, you know, wrestlers in your aspect is the best way to say it?
Well, there's a lot of you watch any MMA, you watch Bellator, he's a world class wrestler. I'm like, oh shit, he ain't even a novice wrestler. We don't give out black belts in wrestling or, you know, whatever. So when Joe Rogan says, you know, Matt Hughes is a world class wrestler, no, he wasn't. He wasn't a world class wrestler. He was decent. He was okay. You know what I mean? He wasn't world class. You know what I mean? Kyle Snyder's world class. You know what I mean? So don't say that this guy's world class. That's one of the things that snaps me about, you know, commentators and the thing that they have no concept of how good of a wrestler one guy is versus another. Whereas in jiu-jitsu, they can tell because this guy's got a freaking black belt, which is bullshit anyway. If you ask me, I think that's all a bunch of shit. And people pay money.
Yeah, you know,
to
it
kind of
is because if you ask a black belt.
Wait a minute. Listen, it's a scam. Anybody that pays somebody to give them a belt, you should be ashamed of yourself. You know what I mean?
I hear you talking. You know, if you ask a black belt,
here's my point.
You know,
here's my point. If it took me 15 years to get a black belt, how much money did I pay that guy?
A lot. A lot.
I better be able to kill somebody, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How many of those black belts you see can't even get out of a wet paper bag?
Well, they kind of say it in their own statement. You know, I'm not going to mention any names.
You get what I'm saying?
Oh, I know exactly what you're saying because I asked a professor one time, you know, what is your most sincere thought in the sport that you love so much? He said, well, always remember to keep a white belt's mentality. And really, if you think about that statement, you always truly are a white belt, you know. And I dig your analogy, though, that why pay somebody to become a black belt when, you know, it's like wrestling. You're going to get good if you progress, you have passion, you have love for it. And you're going to progress to be a great wrestler.
But people are going to know what level you're at regardless.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yes.
You don't need a belt to tell somebody how good you are. Level you're at. In wrestling, you don't need that. But it's all how they make their money. I get it. I ought to come up with a belt series for wrestling.
Become rich.
I'm serious. I'm not kidding.
That'd be tremendous. I'm serious.
Because if you opened up schools and you gave out little trinkets or something, you could probably make money off it, but that's not the way I roll. But my point is, anything can attract people. I mean, people are gullible, face it.
Yeah, they truly are. You know, Adam, when I look at your career, you know, it's tremendous. When I finally get to interview you, you're just a humble, down-to-earth, real guy, you know, and I think that's what, you know, I love about Troy is, you know, it's black and white, you know, and that's the way life should be, you know, just straight black and white. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't be candy-ass about it. Just say it for what it really is. So when you look at, you know, everything in that aspect, on this closing statement of the show, you know, to my listeners and to the fans and the people that admire Adam DeSabato, what would you tell them about life, and where would you give them guidance if they wanted to step onto the mat?
Well, I think, you know, if you're anybody that has a kid that's interested in, like, a martial arts, I think wrestling is the first one you ought to enroll them in. I think all the other ones are, you know, not as demanding or self-teaching as wrestling in terms of life. I think wrestling teaches you all aspects of life. Ups, downs, good times, bad times, what it takes to be good, what it takes to be bad, failure, coming back from failure, wins, how to handle wins. It covers everything. So I would, you know, say, you know, anybody that wants to start wrestling, just go in with an open mind and just, you know, go in with an open mind, but expect not to be good at first. And that's the biggest problem, is everybody wants to have success early. I think that's why, you know, with wrestling, you know, you don't get good until you get beat up for a while. And, you know, that's hard for people to accept. Nobody wants to get beat up. Nobody wants to lose. But until you learn what's going on, you're going to lose. And if you're competing, you know, that's life. You know, you're gonna lose in life and have to come back. So, you know, I think wrestling teaches you that.
I couldn't agree with you more. As I know, in my line of work, you know, I started out in boxing and ended up in MMA, and you know, and then I really got sucked into the world of wrestling, watching some of these great wrestlers come into the sport. You know, Adam, I truly appreciate the time that you took to come on the show this evening. I know you've never met me before.
No problem.
But I just want to hand the microphone over to you, and any friends or family, any social media sites, any sponsors, anything you want to say, my friend, the floor is yours.
Well, I just want to say thank you, and, you know, if you are interested in our camp, like I said, Team DeSabato Wrestling Camp, June 5th through the 9th at Hilliard-Davidson High School, and that's in Hilliard, Ohio, which is a suburb of Columbus, and it's from 9 to noon. And if you want to reach me, hit me up on Facebook at Adam, and my last name is DeSabato, spelled D-I, capital S as in Sam, A, B as in boy, A, T as in Tom, O. All right? And thanks for having me, Don. I appreciate it.
It was truly all my honor, sir. You have a tremendous evening, and thank you again. I'm going to give Troy a bunch of crap later this evening, but thank you so much again, brother. God bless.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Adam DeSabato, DeSabato School of Wrestling. He's a Hall of Fame wrestler, turned MMA fighter, giving back to our youth at his school. You got the address. Look him up. My second show today, truly kind of burnt out, but I love representing the sport each and every time. On that note, good night and God bless.